This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Hey, my name is Shay Robbins. I'm a part of the teaching team here, and thrilled to be with you today. So all fall long, we've been walking through the Psalms. And we're going to finish up that series, The Sound of Christmas, today with Psalm 150. So I'm excited to do that. If you guys look around you, you're going to notice there's some kids in here. Raise your hand if you consider yourself a kid. There's some grown men out there raising their hands. I'm glad. I love your youthful spirit. Well, we welcome the kids in here. I like to see, you know, young kids and old people collide, right? It's just like Christmas. In the Christmas spirit. So we're excited to have the kids in here. You guys probably, like the Robins, got together with family, and it's churned up a lot of memories. My entire childhood, my granny would run through three or four names before she actually landed on the right name. You experienced that before? She go, Brandon, Chad, Ellie, Chantel, and like the further she'd get in, I'm like, really, Chantel? Give me a break. So embarrassing. So, you know, I don't like to embarrass my kids. I love it. And so, you know, I like to reintroduce the kids, you know, just to help grandpas and grandmas out, specifically great grandpa and grandmas out. And so I'll run through their names: Lulu, Belle, Knox, Tess. What's the fifth one's name? Rhymes with diaper, Piper, and Sage, right? So we'll reintroduce them and get them reacquainted. That way, then, you know, the names come a little bit quicker. We can find their name on number three or four rather than six or seven. So love that. And another, you know, interesting thing is, you know, we always hear during this season, they grow up so fast. Did anybody say that in the last, 48, 72 hours? They grow up so fast. And we've got one child that's creating some controversy in our home because she stands a whole head taller than the rest of us. See, the Robins, we have very, very average genetics. Like, we're phenomenally middle-of-the-road people, all right? We're fantastically average, okay? And but one of my children, and I won't say her name, but her initials are Belle Robbins. And she's literally a head taller. And so it got to the point where I'm like, we need to come up with an explanation for this. And so this Christmas, I gathered everyone around, granny, children, aunts, uncles. I said, it's time that we told you. We found Belle Robbins floating in a basket in the Bering Sea, surrounded by icebergs, with nothing but a wolf skin diaper and a T-bone as a pacifier. I said, Belle, your given name is Ginormica, Thor's daughter. But we have called you Belle and raised you as our own. Now, reality is Belle, that word means beauty, and Belle is beautiful in every way. But we like to have some fun with that. And my granny, her only response to it was that, oh, how they grow up so fast. And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, that's so true. Because I can see all six of my kids' ankles, not because they're wearing shorts, but because their pants are all too short. They're about 6 inches too short. They're growing up so fast. So that's a problem for a dad of six, because I'm just sitting there doing math. Y'all know this. Words talk, but numbers scream. If I was going to keep up with them growing, I'd have to buy 72 pairs of pants per year. But I got a solution. And it's two part. Number one, it's buy longer socks, right? We're crew socks and longer around our house. And the second is hand-me-downs. Who loves hand-me-downs? With long socks and hand-me-downs, we could close the gap and we could save a fortune. So that's what we're doing in the Robins house. So I actually banned my wife from buying crew socks and below. She can't buy them. In fact, she called me. She was out Christmas shopping and she's in a panic. She's at TJ Maxx, and she's found some screaming deals. And she said, Shay, the card has been declined. And so as a good husband, Justice, this is what you do. Is you ask a follow-up question. You seek understanding. And I said, well, what were you buying? And she said, I was buying socks. And I said, oh, well, that's where you've gone wrong. Your card wasn't declined. You have a crew sock block on your credit card. That's right. I put that there. And, you know, that's wise for a number of reasons. First of all, it's like if I send her out with cash, I can't control that, you know? There are problems with the cash system. You can't control it. But you also can block things, you know, through a credit card. And the nice thing is that I always like to have a 17-year-old pimple-faced cashier tell my wife no so that I don't have to. You know what I'm talking about? It's my number one advice for young adults, right? Write that down, Robert. So we're growing up fast. We're all celebrating it and loving it. And I just want to warn you guys, who's been loving 75-degree weather in Branson? Oh, my gosh. Well, just so you know, the temperature, it's going to plummet, all right? Get ready for a whirlwind of temperature changing. It's about to happen. But we welcome the Christmas season. We love having guests here. We love having family in town. And today is going to be the most emphatic message in Woodland Hills history. I think it's quite possible. Because we're actually reading what I believe is the most emphatic chapter in the entire Bible. And Psalm 150, it is a psalm of praise. Literally, we're going to praise the Lord. And as we've been walking through the Psalms roll out in five stages. And what I love about the Psalms is that the Psalms are very honest. They're very authentic. In fact, as you read the Psalms, you realize that the writers of the Psalms, they're sharing the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. They kind of give us a license to just be real and understand that our conversations with God can be authentic. Like they need to be exactly what you're going through. It's okay to process with the Lord. So these five stages that we walk through in the Psalms goes like this. The first stage is lament. Then we go through a season of struggle. Then in the middle of the songs, it addresses kingship and then trust in that king. And then finally, the Psalms end with unrestrained praise. And specifically, Psalm 150, it's the final doxology of the Psalms. Doxology is it's a Greek word. But it very simply means, doxa means glory, logos is word. So very literally, doxology is a word of glory. And that's how we end these Psalms. And a doxology does three really important things. So the first thing that it does is it recenters worship on God and not on the worshiper. So I actually haven't slept in about a week. Because when the Bears beat the Packers, I've been so lit. All I do, I just lay down. My eyes are wide open. I just wait for morning, right? I was so excited about that, so exuberant, so emphatic. And yet, when we go to a doxology says, hey, oh, time out, Shay. Bring all of that emphasis and put it on the Lord. You guys have probably heard the phrase, you don't want to put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Well, I don't know about you, but I am guilty of doing that on a regular basis. And a doxology helps reel me back in and reorient my worship in its rightful place on King Jesus. The second thing a doxology does is it summarizes Christian theology. Theology, big Christian word, has a very simple meaning. Theology is simply our thoughts about God. Right? So what a psalm will do, or specifically a doxology, is it will take a very simple truth. And it might just be one or two truths, but it will speak a correct perception or thoughts about God, a way to understand God rightly. And the third thing that its doxology does is it reminds us that praise is the proper response to God's blessing. You see, no matter how hard the specific season is that you're going through, we always have things to thank God for, do we not? Sometimes we got to look in the rearview mirror a little ways and to name off those things, to claim those things that we're thankful for, to remind us, oh, wait a minute. God's goodness is way bigger than this light and momentary affliction that has all of my attention right now. So we do three things, just to reiterate it. Doxology does three things. It recenters worship on God, summarizes Christian theology, and it reminds us that praise is the proper response to God's blessing. So what we're going to do is we're going to read through Psalm 150. And how many, raise your hand if you're a kid. I need my kids to raise their hands. Chloe, I know you're in junior high now. How old are you? 15 years old. You're not in junior high. You're in high school, okay? All right. I want you guys to raise your hands up really high. Now, I want you to put both hands right above your shoulders like this. Come on, all the kids in here, teenagers included. Now, I want you to extend your arms like this. Now, I want you to bring them down. Back up, down. And now just pump them. Just get after it. Get the blood pumping. Oh, yeah, that's nice. Grandpas, if you're falling asleep, I just want to encourage you to join us, all right? Okay? Doesn't matter how electric I am, I know you get sleepy, okay? All right, so you guys have a twofold job here, kids. We're going to read through Psalm 150. I'm going to invite the parents to read with me. But the kids are going to do two things. Now, for most of you, you're actually not capable of doing two things at once. But there'll probably be some females in here that are going to be able to nail this. When you hear the word praise, I need you to raise some praise. All right, so let's practice. Here we go. Get your pumpers up. Get your pumpers up. Praise. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're bringing it in the back. I like that. I like that group back there. I like that guy back there. He's really bringing it. Okay, you can stop. Bro, chill. Just going to tear a curtain. All right? Okay. So you're gonna raise some praise every time you hear the word praise. But then I also, at the same time, I want you to count in your head how many times we read the word praise. And we want to know how many times praise is in Psalm 150. Y'all ready for this? Get your pumpers up. Let's get ready to pump. I'm so pumped about this. I'm telling you, this is going to be emphatic. Here we go. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Oh, you guys are dialed in. Very. Hey, young lady there. Yes, in the orange. You're only doing about a 60% pump. Let's go ahead and send it. Okay, all right, here we go. You gotta talk to them, you gotta use their language. You gotta speak the language. All right, here we go. All right, so that was our first praise. What? How many praises have we had so far? This is a very intelligent group. All right, here we go. Praise the Lord in his sanctuary. We're pumping it. Praise him in his mighty expanse. All right, praise him for his mighty deeds. Are you guys? Good extension. She's doing great. You are doing better. All right, here we go. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. What's the next one? Praise him with trumpet sound. Can anybody make a trumpet sound with their mouth? You sound like monkeys. What? I said a trumpet. Oh, my word. We're most surely going to lose count with all these monkeys out here. All right, here we go. Praise him with harp and lyre. Oh, yeah. Look at the boys over here pumping so hard. Y'all are getting jacked. Yeah. All right, next one. Here we go. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and flute. Praise him with loud cymbals. Nice. Go ahead and get your cymbals out. Let's get them going. All right, calm down. Calm down. You're in church. Gee whiz. All right, praise him with resounding cymbals. Did we already do that one? No, there's two cymbals. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And then praise the Lord. All right, how many did we get? Oh, there's discrepancy out here. There's discrepancy. There is. 12 is close, all right? I don't want to crush your spirits on Christmas. 13. Hey, give it up for the kids and this crowd interaction. All right. So I got a little Bible study tip for everybody in here. When you're reading your Bible and you go through a chapter like this and you see a word that is repeated time and time again, the author is trying to get your attention. He's saying, I've got something really important that you need to pay attention to. 13 times. That's a lot of emphasis, isn't it? 13 times Psalm 150 says praise. Specifically, praise the Lord. And, you know, it was really interesting. I was thinking about this. And for the average human, when you breathe you'll breathe 12 to 13 times every minute, right? So the idea is that we praise the Lord with every breath that goes in and out of our lungs. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. In fact, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for God is Yahweh. And Yahweh, the Jewish people would actually breathe his name. They would breathe in Yah and exhale way. Inhale Yah, exhale way. Let every breath praise the Lord. So praise is the crescendo of the Psalms. The Psalms are full of ups and downs on the emotional spectrum, and yet the curtain call of the Psalms is praise. So my son, Knox, this was several years ago. I would guess he was probably, I don't know, 6, 7 years old. And so we're sitting out on the porch, and my daughter, you guys know the Robins are very average, so I've got a daughter that is actually a very good musician to offset how bad her dad is. Like, I can't even hear notes, right? And so anyway, she's out on the porch, and she's leading our family in this little worship session, and my son Knox is sitting on his mom's lap, and they're on the porch swing. And he's got his head like back against her chest, and his eyes are closed, and he is singing at the top of his lungs. Like, he's really having a moment. And we're sitting there just watching, you know, witnessing, like, wow, like he is like totally in this. Well, we kind of wrap it up, and then we chase the cats in there and try and get them all in bed. And Knox had made his way into his room and turned out his light. And so I got some other kids down, and then we came into the room, and I walk in, and Knox is sitting straight up in his bed, and he's got this big, cheesy grin on his face. And this was before I spent thousands of dollars on his dental alignment. So he had, like, y'all seen the Mater truck out there, you know, on the strip? That was my son's teeth. That's literally what his smile is like. So he's got this big Mater smile on, and I'm like, dude, you know, like, you're cheesing out right now. And I said, hey, buddy, you know, like, what's going on? And with this big grin on his face, he said, the Holy Spirit taught me to love God more. That's literally his words. I'll never forget it. Noxie just had this little supernatural moment with God where God met him and the Holy Spirit did a little work in his heart. Gave him the capacity to love God more. And I think, like, when we praise that, when we practice praising God, that's what happens, is we incrementally grow in our capacity to love God rightly, to love him the way that he should be loved. So what I want to do is we're going to focus a little bit on David and how he established a culture of worship that you and I participate in yet today. And the reality is actually Psalm 150 wasn't wrote by David. There's an unnamed psalmist that wrote Psalm 150, but very interestingly, as you read through Psalm 150, he is talking about standards and practices of worship that David put in place. In other words, Psalm 150 is the result of David's leadership when it comes to praising God. And so we're going to look at David's life, and just in a few brief points, we're going to see how God created a worshiper in David and how we as families can take those lessons and apply them to both our lives and in the lives of anyone that's under our roof, all right? So here's our first one is, and let me just state it this way, is God used David in a unique, once in history way to establish musical worship as a central, organized, and theological act in Israel as a ministry before the Lord. And we as families get to learn from his example. So the first point is that David's worship life, it began in obscurity. Kids, who knows what David's first job is? His first family chores. Anybody know? Who knows? Chloe? He was a shepherd. That's right. Yeah, so David was a shepherd. He spent a lot of lonely nights and lonely days out in the wilderness. And out in those lonely places, he became personally and intimately acquainted with the living God. At night, he would lay down under God's beautiful expanse, and he would see the grandeur and the goodness of God. And we actually see how David became a worshiper as a young man. And, you know, to all the boys in the crowd, specifically the teenagers over here, whenever you find yourself bored, the best thing that you could do is to go out in the wilderness, throw rocks, and talk to God. The reason it's important you go to the wilderness is because if you don't, you're going to hit your sister with a rock or you're going to break out a window, right? I know that because I talked my mom into letting me buy a slingshot when I was a kid. Got my first slingshot. You know where the first rock went? Straight through the window. What an idiot. I don't know how'd I do that, right? But here's our family lesson, is that praise is first personal. It's not a show. It's not for everybody else. Praise is an intimate, personal practice. And by the way, kids, it doesn't matter how old you are. You as a young kid, elementary, high school, a teenage kid, you can have an intimate relationship with the God of the universe, but it's up to you to engage with him on a personal level, to simply talk to him, to share your hurts and your wounds and your losses and your shortcomings and your sins and your victories, to share them with God and to cultivate an intimate relationship with him. Here's the second thing we learned from David, is that music became a spiritual weapon through David. Moms and dads, pay close attention. Y'all know this story. Before David became a big hero in Israel, as a shepherd, he became a skilled musician. He obviously had a gift that he cultivated in those lonely spaces. And Saul, who had no heart for God, had rejected God. And as a result, God punished him by allowing an evil spirit to torment him. And in his torment, one of his servants offered up the idea that, why don't we bring in a skilled musician to try and soothe the king in his torment? And they offered up. They said, I know a young guy. He's handsome. He's a great warrior. He's valiant. And he's awesome with the harp. And so they bring David in. And when Saul would have these fits of torment, David would come in and he would play his harp. And it would soothe Saul in his torment. What that illustrates to us is that our worship and our praise that we practice in our home, that there is spiritual, supernatural power that we can unleash over our households. Let me say it this way, is that praise proclaims the lordship of Jesus over our home and over our family. Y'all, do we live in a spiritual battle? I mean, is there any question? It's one of the most obvious things that there is a battle of evil, good and evil that we live in the midst of. And one of the ways that we can push back that darkness and proclaim the king's lordship over our home is through praise of the king. Amen? Here's the fourth one. David organized continuous musical worship. So in 1 Chronicles 23, 24, and 25, he lays out a specific order of worship. In fact, he gave Levites full-time jobs as musicians, and they would serve around the clock, right? So I think about our team, our worship team. I am confident that they're playing shows late into the night. They get a short night's sleep, and they show up in the wee hours on a Sunday morning to practice before our service. So whenever I'm preaching from here on out, I'm just walking in saying, good morning, Levites. It's good to see you. Because really, we get to follow their example, right? To praise God on a continuous basis. In fact, there was 24 divisions of singers, and they sang around the clock. And I imagine probably the best singers were, you know, during, you know, from prime time, right? 7 to 9 p.m. And then I call those the blue chips. And then probably you had the less skilled singers like at 3 a.m. I call those the cow chips. That's probably who I'd be hanging out with, right? So you got your blue chips and your cow chips. And these commissioned instruments, right? So Psalm 150 is full of these instruments. These are instruments that David put in place as instruments to worship God with, right? And in verse 5, it says, praise him with loud cymbals. And I don't know, I don't pretend to be like have a doctorate in Hebrew, but I think Hebrew translated to Ozark English symbol is cowbells, right? So I just feel like we need more cowbells in worship. I'm trying to influence the team. They gave me this cowbell and didn't even give me a stick to hit it with. So I guess I got a pin. Let me see. Oh, that sounds pretty good, right? I'm going to carry that around. All right. So here's our family lesson. Our praise in our homes, it should be like Hertz donuts. You know what I'm talking about? It should be like Hertz donuts. 25 hours a day, 8 days a week. Y'all tracking with me? All the time, right? Praise should be a part of our life and the way that we live. We have a lot to be thankful for. Here's the next one. David wrote theology that Israel would sing. And this is so important because our praise develops our theology of God's goodness and the lordship of Christ Jesus. So how important is this in your home? Right? As we practice praise in our home, we're taking godly theology and we're speaking it over our children to make sure that their theology, their thoughts about God is on target. And you guys have heard this many times, but our worship team actually will comb through every single one of the songs that we sing to make sure they're theologically accurate. And many of them on contemporary radio are not. And we don't sing them, or we'll actually correct the theology before we do. It's important that we help our kids and our household to think rightly about God. And here's the last one. Is David prepared worship for a temple that he would never see? You know, David had a desire to build the temple of God, a house of worship. But God actually said no. He told him no because he was a man of war and bloodshed. And he said, I'm going to reserve that gift for your son, Solomon. And in fact, Solomon was the one that came in and he took God's design and he built the temple, the house of God's worship. But specifically what David did is he handed off a culture of worship to his son. Isn't that amazing? So David, he put the foundations of what worship and praise is to look like, and he passed that on, a multi-generational culture of worship onto his son who carried that on. And guess what? How many generations have gone by and you and I are still practicing the culture of worship that David put in? Isn't that amazing? It's absolutely incredible. Thousands and thousands of years have gone by. And so here's our family lesson, is that practicing praise builds a multi-generational culture of worship. Dads, moms, grandpas, grandmas, aunts, uncles. David's worship legacy outlived his throne. And yours can too. What an amazing responsibility. So here's how we're going to close today. We're going to close in a really special way. I'm going to invite some of our kids out here who helped us lead worship. And as they come out, hey, kids. Oh, I know what they need to hear. Kids, it's time. Just hang on here. Where's the kids' worship team? Oh, here they are. I found them. We're good. Give it up for the kids' worship team. There we go. What were you guys doing back there? You weren't tying your shoes, I can tell you that much. Hey, so before I introduce what they're going to do something special for you, on your way out, we got a little gift for you. So for the families, we got a little take home of just some really fun questions to help you wrap up this year and welcome in 2026. And so I want you to grab one of these and take the time to sit down at the kitchen table at lunch or this evening for dinner and have an intentional conversation about praising God within your home. So what the kids are going to do is, you know, we talked about a doxology earlier. And many of you, if any of you grew up in Christian homes or in the church, you're familiar with the doxology, right? There's a doxology that we know and have sang now actually for centuries. And I actually didn't know the background to the doxology, and so I looked into it, and I want to tell you about it. There was a guy, a writer named Thomas Ken, and he wrote three hymns in 1674, and he wrote them for students, actually, at Winchester College. So morning, evening, and at midnight, they would sing these hymns at Winchester College, and the doxology that we know of today is the final verse of each one of these hymns. So this is a hymn that stood over time now for hundreds of years, and it does all the things you want a doxology to do. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to ask the kids to actually sing the doxology over our congregation this morning, and then I'm going to come and pray over you and close. Does that sound good? All right. Anybody feel blessed right now? We're blessed. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. I'm going to pray. Bow your heads with me. Lord Jesus, first and foremost, we publicly and corporately, we praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for our salvation. Thank you, God, for forgiving us. Thank you, God, for our redemption story. I just want to pray over all the families here, watching online, listening around campus, from each one of our services. I want to pray in the name of Jesus that you would establish a multi-generational culture of worship and praise. I pray, God, that it just blesses you to no end. I pray that this morning you'd have a big smile across your face. I expect that you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, church. If we can help you or minister to you or pray for you, come on down front. We'd love to chat. Have a great Sunday.